Okay, well, Happy New Year, everyone. And I always get excited this time of year. I usually say Happy New Rear, as we used to say in the fitness industry. But I digress. We are pretty excited here in the office to get back. And this is the third call. I'm going to anticipate we might have lost a few along the way, and so we're going to evaluate who's on afterwards. But this is just, again, a reminder that the theme, again, how can we become better versions of ourselves? And one of my thoughts over the break was, you know, every year we should expect more of ourselves. And I did get to sneak up when I was in Kansas, hang out with the boys for a day, as we say, the monks. And again, it's funny because they, you know, as good coaches, we ask good questions, and they first thing was, hey, what do you expect in the year 2019? What are your expectations, Keith? And so, you know, it's called growth, really, trying to get better. And then, of course, that causes one to evaluate. And so how did we do in 2018? Well, we know as a company how we did. I don't know if we can do much better. But the goal still is what can we do? You know, what are we going to add? What are we going to subtract? What are obstacles do we need to remove, those bad habits? And it is, you know, when you're driving along the highway, when you're in the plane, sometimes you just kind of think about what expectations we have. What are those time wasters that we've been, that's been holding us back somewhat? And always loved spending a few minutes with a few hours with the monks, just the questions alone. And remember, coaches ask great questions. So that kind of leads us to, you know, the resolutions. So I'm reading a blurb on the plane, and it came out with the top four resolutions, and I'm sure you know these. See if you agree with me. So we have the top resolution here for the year is eat healthier. Anybody want to eat healthier? And number two is get more exercise. I'm sitting here with a group. I know a couple of them cannot get any more exercise, or can they? Save money, number three. And number four, focus on self-care. You know, sleep, that kind of stuff. But you know, when you think about it, why I've never been a resolution guy, mainly because, you know, in the gym business for so many years, you kind of saw what happened in this month, January. Everybody's upset. The people coming in are upset because they don't have measurable goals. The people in the gym are upset because all these new overweight people are in the way. I'm upset because everybody's upset. But, you know, really, again, it comes back down to coaching and what resolutions are useless because we don't measure anything. What does eat healthier mean? That means nothing to me. I always love when people say, oh, I eat pretty well. I eat pretty clean. Okay, what the heck does that mean? You know, that's why we have to do food records. That's why we have to make specific goals. How are we gonna get more exercise? Well, you've got to write down, I'm going to work out. Well, first I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is. So really, when we're forming any kind of resolutions, any kind of goals, what is the plan? You know, they're just dreams otherwise. So those are just some of the thoughts that come across my brain. And you know, I know I was very excited because Santa Claus brought me a present, as I'm sure everybody was on the good list. I thought I was on the naughty list, but I did get a present. I told my kids, no, nothing, please. I don't need anything. Yes, you can get me the underwear and socks like you always do, but what does my wife do? She gets me a Garmin, the new version Garmin. Now, you know, she had no idea back in the 80s when I was on the pro biathlon circuit. Garmin is in Kansas City, and they were one of my sponsors. I had probably one of the first Garmin watches ever designed, and it was like a huge house on your wrist. And people would say, what the heck is that? And it was awesome. It was awesome. I mean, it was the coolest thing. It controlled data. But today, these little boogers right now, I can tell you just about anything you want to know about anything, including my sleep habits. And that's what inspired me to look at that focus on self-care and sleep. This watch, which is pretty fun to work with, shows you REM sleep. It shows you how many hours of deep sleep, light sleep. It has a stress mode of where you're at. Just kind of fun to look at. I'm not a big app guy, but reuniting with this new technology of Garmin is kind of fun. And so, again, what is it that we need to stay motivated? And what are we going to do for our own self-care? I'm going to throw one more thing in there before we start our lesson. And that is, What can we do self-care? I'm gonna offer up something that I've offered up to many of my friends. I gave out probably, I think, 6 certificates this Christmas for a float tank. So if you don't know what that is, you should find out. And again, I used to have these float tanks in my early gyms in the 80s, and we were way ahead of ourselves because they were like big, massive submarines with 1,000 pounds of Epsom salt, and people got freaked out. I would go in there for hours at a time, and they would say, you know, an hour in there is about 8 hours of sleep. And today, you see these cryo temps, you see these the athletes, I've got a couple of buddies that are professional athletes. They have these at their homes. And the technology now, the pods, unbelievable filtration. So if you go to a studio, it's pretty reasonable. You need to try one out, and they'll give you some free trials and what have you. So they're not far from your house, I guarantee it. So I dare you to try it out. All right. So our lesson today is, what is a hearing heart? And I'm going to go back to the homework, and I'm going to look at some of these, the input that I got. And first, I'm going to get on my computer, and I'm going to read one right off the bat from my homework, one of our reflections. And it's, to me, your heart is the home in which your soul resides. In science, in order for a human to live, you must physically have a breathing heart. But in belief, one must also have a soul to live. I believe everyone is born with a pure heart, but no one dies with one. That does not mean you have a pure heart to be a good person. A healthy heart needs faults and hardship to understand other hearts, which results in love. That's pretty good. That's one of our reflections. So I laud that person that gave me that one. I'm going to give you a couple more. And here's when I think the heart means having a purpose in life. When you have a purpose, you're putting your heart into what you do. Whether your purpose is to serve others in your family or in the world, you have to have heart. The heart is more than just a vital organ. To me, the heart is your purpose. Anything you want to achieve, we must do with our heart. Heart is your enthusiasm, your spirit, and most importantly, determination. A wise man once told me, if your heart's not in it, you can't win it. You're not getting any extra points for that one. And here we go. Throughout my years of sports, I played with my heart, meaning I truly loved what I was doing, gave my best effort, and had a lot of passion for the game. The heart controls a lot of feelings. When I'm sad, my heart feels heavy. When I'm happy, my heart feels like it's jumping for joy. The heart loves hard. The heart is affection, understanding, unconditional love through times and bad. Compassion. Healthy heart equals healthy life. And we can go on. There's a few more I can get into, but you kind of get the idea. I was very thankful, and I was happy to see some of the homework. So these are tough reflections, and you don't have to go hitchhiking on the highway to get those reflections. You just need to find a quiet spot in your house. So this has really inspired this segment here on a on a hearing heart from a book I found a while back called Solomon's Secret. And if you know anything about the story of Solomon, it's a very unique story. So King Solomon, if you look in the history books, was the king of Israel. And at this point in time where the story took place, he was collaborating with another king, one of the pharaohs from Egypt, and he was getting ready to get married. And the story goes on, but he had a vision one evening, and that was God coming to him saying, "What do you want? I'll give you anything you want." Now, you might know some of your history there. Solomon was the son of King David, and everybody knows the story of David. And, you know, David and Goliath and how his road came up. But Solomon now is about to earn the reputation as his destiny would have. And this is what he responds to when he gets his dream when he wakes up. And this is the words he used. "Give to your servant a hearing heart to judge your people and discern between good and evil." So Solomon gets this wish, so to speak. You know, it's kind of that old genie wish. And he didn't wish for riches, and he didn't wish for power or glory or, you know, crush his enemies. He asked for a hearing heart so he could really lead his people. And the response from God was, I will give you this wisdom. And so that becomes the word that we call Solomon the wisest man ever lived. And not only that, he became the richest man. And he had everything he ever wanted, mainly because he asked for wisdom. And when you think about it, the underlying word here is listening. Give me that hearing heart. He wanted to learn how to listen better. And that becomes the crux of what we're going to be talking about here. And that's why we asked about, you know, reflect on the heart. And my two cents on all this is, you know, your heart is the center of your being. Just physically, you know, the doctor might say it's a muscle. I particularly personally think it's actually the spiritual center of your body, of your whole being. But, you know, just again being up with the monks, and I refer to the monks so often, but they always taught silence and solitude. If you want to listen to your heart, if you want to get to the heart of the matter, quote unquote, if you want to get to your heart, you've got to get quiet and you've got to find solitude. And for me, prayer is the way to listen to that little voice that speaks to your heart. And we can't do any of that without really focusing on what that word listening means. And you can tell, even when you're talking with an old monk for so many years, these guys are very wise people, and they don't get riled up. And they are peaceful, and they are calm, and they know what solitude is. And, you know, I'm gonna pay attention to that. I'm going to pay attention to what they already have learned. I'm going to look at their example. And Solomon's example there. And, you know, as we go back into, you know, even the mission statement I brought up, most of you know, I quote it quite often, be intentional with every task that comes across my desk. That's an action from listening. If somebody comes to me with a problem, I'm going to listen to them. And that's the word intentional, I think, has to go in with that. We looked at Covey's habits and habit number 5, seek first to understand, then be understood. So, again, listening is not waiting for that other person to finish. You can look up all the definitions on the Internet. But I'm going to give you some more. Now, these are, you've probably read and heard a lot about what listening is. I want to give you the top 5 now. I've been carrying this around from Inc. magazine for a while. And I would dare you to pick up that next copy. I think Peter's in the next copy. Peter might be in the next issue of Inc. magazine. I think he's been in most of them. But I'm going to give you 5 tangible benefits from listening at work. So what is the takeaway today? What's listening going to do for you at work? How is it beneficial? Well, the first thing we say is mutual trust. If you're really going to listen to somebody, first of all, let's back up. If you're not going to give them 100%, don't even bother, as we say. So people understand that. You know when people aren't listening. And so, you know, sometimes we tolerate that, sometimes we don't. But really, if you trust somebody, that is the relationship we're trying to figure out. And how we earn that trust is by listening. And I think that's where our leader, Peter Cancro, knows what wisdom is, because that is probably his number one strength in his suit. That he says he learned way back. He had a voice because people listened to him. Why does this benefit you at work? That you'll be better producers, productivity. You will solve problems faster if you are going to work with somebody and listen to what they have to say. We say cooler heads prevail. Listening helps us to stay cool. Still working on that one myself. Listening, we say great listeners have better self-esteem. They have better confidence because they know that they're going to be in a positive relationship. They know they're going to be probably have a good outcome when they listen to somebody instead of just acting or overreacting. And then in the work, it's just fewer mistakes. If we listen to the right information, we're not going to respond to bogus data. We're going to find out what the facts are and move on. So just a little bit to think about there. And my own two cents on this, again, is I think listening is probably the greatest thing you can do for another person. When you say, how am I going to be a better version of myself, 2019, just by being intentional and listening to the people around us. You start with your family. You start with your coworkers. You know, our word this year at in our corporate office is unite. And you're not going to unite anybody if you're not paying attention and listening to what they have to say. And remember, listening is not just with your ears. We listen to what we see. We can read body language. Remember, we talked about those Mrs. Lincoln responses before. We know when somebody's sad. We know when somebody's upset. We know when somebody's having a bad day. You don't have to ask them. I think that giving the impression, the one you're listening to, is probably a visualization, is that you want to, when you're listening to somebody, you want to make sure that they may be the only one left in the world. You know, you're kind of blocking out. Sometimes we can't just talk to somebody in our quiet office. You know, there might be a group of people. But when you can make somebody feel like you're actually zoning in on them and they're the only one in the world listening to, that is the goal in my mind. And those are just some of the thoughts that come with this little idea. And this is something I wrote down a while back here. Listening requires patience and self-control, which in itself can be an imposition. Read a book recently called The Art of Leadership. Well, there was a chapter in there called The Art of Listening. And this is when someone actually, when we say you listen quietly, calmly, and with actual concentration, you can even, we can say that, you know, it's, you become a fabulous creature, a mysterious creature. What is that, that somebody makes themselves stand out like that? We say that, you know, in any business, if you can listen well, you're going to thrive. And then I'm going to finish up with a little bit of St. Benedict on this one. St. Benedict actually begins one of his prologues with the word listen. And he goes on, he says, I want you to listen as if it has magical power. So isn't that funny when we say that just that little skill of listening may be magical? So we're going to conclude here in a bit. Of course, you can't have a lesson without a homework assignment. But first, our quotable quote of the week, and this is coming directly, well, one of Steve Leonard's favorite quotes, attitude is everything. I've got a book on my desk, The Power of Attitude. And you got to love that little phrase. It's a simple one, easy to remember. You can win it in a conference, in a contest. Attitude is everything. So here's our homework assignment. We're talking about this listening idea. Well, here's the, we're going to write a short essay. And I know everyone loves essays, no multiple choice. But here's the question. How would you design a culture of listening at your workplace? It's kind of a a tough task here, but a short essay. How would you design a culture of listening at your workplace? That's all the help I'm giving you on that, but I'm going to finish up. And this is a poem that comes directly from one of our Phase 2 Leadership Conference sessions. This was written by a young man named Kobe Sapp. I'm going to read it like Kobe read it when he listened to our Seven Habits presentation. So enjoy this with me, and we'll move on. The Seven Habits poem. I am a savage. I am a beast. My success will grow like bread with yeast. I have many habits, specifically seven. If I follow these, my career will reach heaven. Sharpen the saw with number seven. Balance feels best. Follow your body, soul, heart, and mind, and then time will do the rest. Together is better, says number six. Synergy brings energy like fire and sticks. Number five, I had to understand to be understood. Number four, always think win-win, then everybody would. Start with you, says number three, put first things first, then success you will see. Number two, always have a plan with the end in mind. Number one, be proactive, then you can read in between the lines. So there is our inspirational poem of the week. I'll be happy to look at your homework assignments this week. God bless everybody here in a new 2019. Very proud to be with you here, Jersey Mike's. Over and out.